It's my pleasure to introduce Aline Muil. So she is from Lyon. She did her studies and her PhD and a postdoc there with Gabriel Marais, working on Cellini. And then she spent 3-4 years in sunny Southern California working with Brandon Gout on corn and rockcress. She's had several fellowships, L'Oréal, EMBO, Human Frontiers, and then now she's back in Lyon with a CNRS position. You can read the title. I'll let her speak.
Thank you for the kind introduction, and I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me today to present my work. So I slightly changed the title, but I'm mainly going to talk about dosage compensation today. So as you probably know, dosage compensation has been very well characterized in multiple organisms. So in Drosophila, the single X in males is hyperexpressed. In mammals, it's a bit more complicated. 1X is inactivated in females. In placental mammals, it's always the paternal X which is inactivated. And in Cynorhabditis elegans, both X's are downregulated in hermaphrodites. And these dosage compensation systems are not as perfect as sometimes envisioned, because, for example, in mammals and C. elegans, there are only a few genes that are upregulated on the X in males and females. And so this means that the expression level of the sex chromosomes in these species is lower compared to what it used to be in the ancestor. And also in mammals, there are quite a few genes that escape X inactivation in humans, for example. And so these dosage compensation systems are not complete, they are partial. So dosage compensation in the literature is differentiated from simple buffering. So buffering is something that has been described, for example, in Drosophila and yeast, when one copy of a gene is deleted, of an autosomal gene, then the copy that remains sometimes is expressed at a higher level than what it used to be in the diploid state. And this is called buffering. It can happen through sometimes feedback loops in regulatory mechanisms, or just because the cell machinery is more available for expressing one copy rather than the two copies. And so the difference between dosage compensation and buffering is that when dosage compensation evolves, there are specific pathways that evolve, such as, for example, the MSL complex in Drosophila, the XIST and RSX non-coding RNAs in mammals, and the DCC complex in C. elegans. And over the past decade, thanks to RNA-seq, dosage compensation has been studied in a wide array of animals. And Gu and Walters proposed this classification of dosage compensation systems depending on two criteria. So one criterion is whether males and females have equal expression of the sex chromosomes. So it's described by the ratio of XY male over XX female expression. And the second criterion is whether expression in males was maintained to the ancestral level. And this is measured by the ratio of XY male expression over autosomal expression. And so it seems that dosage compensation is rarely complete. It's actually quite the exception. But it also seems that few, if any, species completely lack dosage compensation. Also, sometimes dosage compensation is global and it affects the entire X chromosome, whereas sometimes it's local or gene by gene regulated locally. And finally, we don't really understand yet how dosage compensation evolves and why there is such a diversity, why some species have complete, others incomplete dosage compensation. And today I'm going to tell you about what we have learned from plants, and first I'll tell you about a review of the literature that we wrote with Gabriel Marais and Thomas Lenormand, who are both here today, and also two colleagues from Czech Republic, Vaclav Vakovsky and Roman Hobza. And then I'll present two ongoing projects on dosage compensation in Silene. So Silene latifolia has been the most studied plant for dosage compensation. It's a model since the 1940s for dosage sex chromosome evolution in plants. It has heteromorphic sex chromosomes that evolved about 11 million years ago. And dosage compensation was suggested very early on in Silene latifolia. This is a figure from a paper of from the 90s where DNA methylation was stained and observed cytologically. And so here you can see that in females, there is one X that is hypermethylated and late replicating, while the other X is hypomethylated and early replicating. And in males, the single X is also hypomethylated and early replicating. And so these results were interpreted as probably the fact that in females, there might be one X that is inactivated, maybe similarly to what happens in mammals. Strangely, these early results were forgotten for quite a few years, and until 10 years ago, it was quite common to read in the literature that dosage compensation doesn't happen in plants. So then with the advent of RNA-seq, so RNA-seq was applied to Silene latifolia to study dosage compensation. And for quite a few years, it was very controversial whether dosage compensation occurs in Silene latifolia or not. So in the first few studies, there was a focus on X-hemizygous genes. So these genes are genes that have lost completely Y expression. And when people looked at their expression levels, so they saw that the X expression in males here in purple was about half the expression of the two X's in females here in red. And so they concluded that there was no dosage compensation in Silene latifolia. But then with Gabriel, we looked at XY genes, and we observed that when the Y expression decreased here in dark blue, the X expression in males here in purple increased. So we concluded that there was dosage compensation in Silene latifolia. And it was finally a third study that settled the controversy. So in that study, they looked at about 230 genes, X hemizygous genes, so without Y copy expressed. And they found that the ratio of X expression in male over the 2X expression in female was bimodal. So some genes have a ratio close to 0.5, which shows that they don't have dosage compensation, whereas other genes have a ratio close to 1, showing complete dosage compensation. So the authors concluded that there was a partial dosage compensation in Silene latifolia, and I think that's the consensus now in the literature, is that Silene latifolia has partial incomplete dosage compensation. So some genes are not dosage compensated, but many are. And finally, the controversy that was that existed for a while around whether dosage compensation exists in Silene latifolia, it was probably rather a question of definition. Some authors required all genes to be fully dosage compensated to say that there was any dosage compensation. But this is maybe a little extreme because, like I showed, for example, in mammals and C. elegans, not all genes are dosage compensated, and yet we agree that there is some dosage compensation in those systems. And dosage compensation depends on the type of gene, on the tissue observed, and also the developmental stage. So maybe Silene latifolia dosage compensation is not that different to what we observe in mammals, for example. Then during my first postdoc with Gabriel, I found that dosage compensation is achieved in Silene latifolia by an upregulation of the maternal X in males, and weirdly enough, also in females. And the paternal X in females remained expressed to a similar level to what it used to be ancestrally here compared to an out group. And this causes an hyper-expression in Silene latifolia females, which might be deleterious, and maybe this is due to the fact that the system is still quite recent. Interestingly, the fact that the X, the maternal X, is upregulated also in females cannot be explained by simple buffering. And so it suggests that there was a specific dosage compensation mechanism that evolved in Silene latifolia. However, I should mention that my results were not confirmed by an independent study, maybe because different gene sets were studied and also different methodological approaches, or maybe also different Silene latifolia populations differ in their dosage compensation patterns. However, results obtained using cytology also show that the two X's in Silene latifolia females have different epigenetic marks. So this is an example of staining that shows DNA methylation in a Silene latifolia female. Here you have one X and here the other X. So it might be a bit difficult to see, but one of the two X's has more DNA methylation than the other. And also people have looked at histone marks, and one X is enriched in transcriptionally active chromatin with active histone marks, and the other is depleted and enriched in DNA methylation, which is usually repressive, although it also depends on the context. Unfortunately, these cytological studies, they were not able to identify the parental origin of the two X's in females, so they couldn't confirm what I saw with RNA-seq, the imprinting where the maternal X is upregulated and the paternal X remains expressed at ancestral level. So future work is needed to identify the parental origin of these two chromosomes. What is nice about these cytological studies is that they suggest that dosage compensation is regulated at a chromosome-wide level in Silene latifolia. And so it's interesting because we don't know how such a chromosome-wide mechanism can evolve. In mammals and C. elegans, it evolved quite a long time ago, and so it's really hard to find evidence of the early steps of how it came to be. And maybe with Silene latifolia, we can have a better understanding of how a global chromosome-wide dosage compensation mechanism evolves. So in our review, we summarized the results of dosage compensation studies in different plant species. And we show here that partial dosage compensation is actually quite frequent in plants, in different plant families, and especially for plants that have heterozygous heteromorphic sex chromosomes. So it seems that dosage compensation, partial dosage compensation, is quite frequent in plants with heteromorphic sex chromosomes. And so it suggests that what we observed in Silene latifolia maybe can be summarized to most plants with heteromorphic sex chromosomes. And these results are not entirely explained by buffering, because, like I said, in Silene latifolia, maternal X upregulation cannot be explained by buffering. And also in Remex rothschildinus, for some X hemizygous genes, dosage compensation was achieved through downregulation of XX expression in females, which cannot be explained by buffering either. So it suggests that at least for these two species, there was a specific dosage compensation mechanism that evolved. I also wanted to point out that, interestingly, dosage compensation seems to be able to evolve over a really short time, because Silene otitis which sex chromosomes evolved about 0.6 million years ago, already shows very clear patterns of dosage compensation for a few ZW genes. I wanted to say a few words about what forces drive dosage compensation evolution. So traditionally, it was thought that dosage compensation evolves after Y degeneration has proceeded with the loss of quite a few Y genes. And so this means that probably dosage compensation evolves late in the process of sex chromosome evolution. But now we have other models, and the one by Thomas Lenormand proposes that instead dosage compensation could evolve quite early for dosage-sensitive genes through cis-enhancer divergence. And there's a third model that was proposed by David Haig, focused on when dosage compensation is linked to imprinting. So for example, in placental mammals and in Silene latifolia. And he suggests that this could be due to a parental conflict. So I won't have much time to say more about this, but I'm happy to talk later on if you like. So now I wanted to present two ongoing projects. So actually, when I accepted to give the talk back in October or November, I thought I would have a lot more results to show today. But unfortunately, my sequencing data arrived just a few weeks ago, and so I still have a lot to do. But anyway, I'm interested in trying to understand how dosage compensation evolves in Silene latifolia. As I said, using cytology, people have shown that the two X's are differentially methylated in Silene latifolia females. And so to be able to understand how this can evolve, we first have to describe the patterns. And so I sequenced a few samples of Silene latifolia using BS6, or bisulfite sequencing, to characterize DNA methylation. And here I show the pattern of DNA methylation along the X chromosome. So I'm using the draft assembly of the Silene latifolia genome made by Gabriel Marais and his postdoc, Carol Moraga. So it's still an ongoing project. The assembly is not over. Actually, the X chromosome currently comes in 20 scaffolds. And so for this figure here, I just concatenated the 20 scaffolds one after the other. And so here you can see the proportion of methylated cytosines along the X chromosome in the three contexts, CG, CHG, and CHH, where H stands for A, C, or T base. And so I was quite surprised to find that DNA methylation in female, here in red, is lower than DNA methylation in two males, here in blue and green. And that's quite the opposite to what I was expecting, because cytology shows that one X is hypermethylated in females, the other hypomethylated. And in males, the X is hypomethylated. So I would have expected the opposite, that females would have more methylation. I'm thinking I might have here some spurious Y reads mapping onto the X in males that I will have to clean up. What I'm planning for this project next is to analyze additional samples that rely on long-read sequencing to infer DNA methylation. And obviously, I also plan to study patterns of DNA methylation at the gene level once the genome gets annotated. So this is all I have to show for now for this project. And I wanted to tell you about another ongoing project which aims to try and understand why polyploidy is rarer in animals than plants. Oh yeah, I made a mistake in the title, sorry, it's the opposite. Yeah, here too. So why is ploidy rarer in animals than plants? It's been a long-standing question for over a century now, and all proposed that maybe polyploidization disturbs dosage compensation in species that have degenerated sex chromosomes with a well-established dosage compensation system. And this could at least participate to the rarity of polyploidy in some animal groups compared to plants. Obviously, this won't explain the rarity of polyploidy in all animals, but those that have well-established dosage compensation, that, such as Drosophila or mammals, that could be the case. And obviously, in plants, sex chromosomes are very rare, and when they happen, they are often not very degenerated and don't have dosage compensation. So that could be an explanation why plants have more polyploidy events than animals. However, an empirical demonstration that polyploidy has a disruptive effect on dosage compensation is still lacking. And so I'm collaborating with Roman Hobza and Vaclav Bakovsky. They were able to generate synthetic polyploids of Silene latifolia. So they generated tetraploids that we are currently sequencing using RNA-seq. And so I will be testing whether dosage compensation is disturbed in those tetraploids. So to finish, I wanted to list a few open questions on dosage compensation evolution. So I think it will be interesting to have a better characterization in future of dosage-sensitive genes, because that may help us understand why some species have complete dosage compensations, whereas others have incomplete dosage compensation. Also, it will be interesting to study further the effects of effective population size, the size of the non-recombining region, and also the age of sex chromosomes to explore the potential effects on the evolution of dosage compensation. And because we still don't understand why some species have global dosage compensation with mechanisms that affect the entire X chromosomes, while for some other species, dosage compensation is regulated locally, gene by gene. And we don't understand how maybe we can switch from gene-by-gene dosage compensation to global dosage compensation. How could this happen? And we also don't really know what evolutionary forces drive dosage compensation. So there's actually still quite a lot to do in that field. To finish, I would like to thank my collaborators, so Gabriel Marais and Carole Moraga, for sharing the Silene latifolia genome with me. My colleagues in Czech Republic for the synthetic polyploids. Thomas Lenormand contributed to the review I presented today. And Dan Sloan and Peter Fields are sharing Silene conica data with me. So it's an ad group that I'm going to use for DNA methylation comparisons with Silene latifolia. And thank you for your attention.